Overnight with Jason Gotch continues now on SB Nation Radio.
Great to have you aboard with me here on SB Nation Radio as we roll through the overnight hours with you. Your phone calls, your tweets. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, a little bit later on in the segment, we're going to be joined by Chelsea Janes. She covers the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post. And right now, without any further ado, let's go out to that guest line and welcome Chelsea to the program. Chelsea, I really appreciate the time. Great to have you aboard here on the overnights, and glad you're with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the game on Tuesday night. The Nationals go on the road. They beat the Angels by a score of 4-3. Marquee matchup here if you're a baseball fan because you get Bryce Harper and you get Mike Trout on the same field, and both guys did not disappoint as they each homered in the first inning of this game.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. You know, it seemed like, you know, Bryce went deep and then and Trout went a little deeper to the same spot, and it was just kind of one of those things. Obviously, you don't know if there's a correlation, but it's just kind of fun to see them go at it. And, you know, it's something they obviously downplay afterward and stuff like that. But it's just fun, and it's not something that happens very often. And, you know, we get to see it twice here, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And also for the Nationals in this game, interesting that Edwin Jackson comes up, and he throws a very good game and gets the start, seven innings of two-run baseball. And then the new acquisitions for the Nats, Ryan Madsen pitches the eighth, and he throws a scoreless inning. And then Doolittle comes in, threw some gasoline on the fire in the ninth inning, but gets the save. Tell me how those new acquisitions looked. All three of those guys combined to throw a pretty good game for the Nationals.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that none of them were on this roster a week ago. But, you know, Jackson looked great, I think, better than they could have, you know, begged him to be. I think he will get a shot to really be their fifth starter for the rest of the second half if he's able to do what he did tonight. And, you know, and Madsen and Doolittle, it's just, you know, the guys went crazy after Madsen threw a scoreless eighth. It just means a lot to them to see somebody go out there that they can trust. It's been such a battle for them in the later innings. And, you know, you don't want to kind of throw too much on the guys that were there before and that are still here, but they just weren't doing the job. And to get guys in here that can kind of bend but not break in those later innings, it just makes a really good team all that much better. And, you know, I think there's a huge mental effect that might even go beyond the field, that these guys can, like, kind of chill in those late innings and not feel like their work in the earlier innings is for naught.
Chelsea, was this enough for the Nationals bullpen? Because we got a little less than 2 weeks now to the non-waiver trade deadline coming up a week from Monday. Do the Nationals need to do more? Because it's so ironic how good their starters have been this season. And then you look at the bullpen before these two acquisitions. I mean, the bullpen was as bad as any in baseball.
Yeah, I think they could use another reliever. I don't know if they'll get it. I think that they are going to certainly poke around for it. You know, obviously David Robertson's off the board, although I think he kind of was out of play once they spent money to get Madsen and Doolittle. But I certainly expect them to continue poking around. You know, the feeling is kind of they're one more away. They need one more guy, and then you can look at this bullpen and feel really, really good. I mean, the fact that you're even talking about feeling really, really good about this bullpen means they've done something. But, you know, I think that they and everyone else kind of feel one more guy, and, you know, Joe Blanton's kind of figuring it out. And then you have a really nice little bullpen, and you can take your chances in October where, no matter what they do, they really haven't been able to pull it together before.
When you think about October, is there a reason for that, Chelsea? Because they've had good teams. Dusty Baker, I know he's got his detractors, but he's won a lot of games in his managerial career over the years. So is there any reason the Nats have never gotten over the hump when it really matters in the postseason?
I think there's a lot of reasons, which sounds kind of corny, but I think just a lot of things have gone wrong over the years for them. And I think there's something to the idea that you kind of have to learn to win, and they have taken a little bit longer than some other teams. They've taken shorter than some other teams when you look at it. But, you know, there's a feeling that they've been so good for now for 5 years and just haven't been able to break through. And I think everyone's gotten pretty impatient. But, you know, I think that there is a little bit of a mental block there where they look at it and say, oh, man, we just got to get past that first round. Maybe that contributes. There's been a lot of luck. I mean, last year they were, I think, what, seven outs away, a couple outs away from being there. It just hasn't happened. And I think once they get past that first round, if they get past that first round, they could cruise, truly, because the monkey will be off their back, and this team is just so good. There's no real good reason why they wouldn't be able to have a nice, deep October run.
Hey, Chelsea, talk about the influence Dusty Baker has on this team, because after the Matt Williams fiasco, you think about the last year and a half or so, we don't hear any of those issues in the clubhouse with this team or disunity. It seems like, again, say what you want about Dusty, but these guys, as many other teams before them have and his other managerial stops, they really buy into what he's selling.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think they're like everyone, there's people in there that'll grumble at a decision here or there, and I think that's prevalent pretty much everywhere. But I think by and large, they really respect him. I know they do, you know, and they respect him as a person, which for a team that's got kind of a lot of hard-headed veterans who don't need to be told how to do things, it just matters that someone kind of lets them do their thing that they can trust. And I think that that's exactly what Dusty's been. He hasn't tried to make anybody something they're not. He's kind of like the old grandfather, uncle, always offering advice. And, you know, sometimes you kind of laugh it off, and I know some of them shut it out, but it's not, you know, harmful. It's a playful kind of dynamic there. And I know a lot of them get a lot out of him. And, you know, I think everybody just feels like this is the right fit for this group and that this group is the right fit for him. And they kind of meet each other. And it's just one of those situations that worked out for the best and continues to. It continues to be a positive relationship.
Chelsea Janes is our guest. She covers the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post. You can follow her on Twitter at Chelsea_Janes is her Twitter handle. She's with me, Jason Gotch, all across the country, talking Nationals baseball here on SB Nation Radio. Let's talk a little bit more. We discussed possible trades for the pitching staff, Chelsea, but what about the actual eight-man lineup or maybe even bolstering the bench? Do you think the Nationals need to do anything there over the next week or so, or maybe even in August when players have to clear waivers, could they find some help they might need in that area?
Yeah, I think bullpen's pretty much the priority. You know, I think that they feel good about their team when healthy. To your question, I think, you know, as they go through toward the deadline, really what they need to do is get healthy. If they can get Jason Worth back and Trey Turner back, then all of a sudden your bench is Adam Lind, Stephen Drew, you know, some really high quality players that can start that will be on their bench. And I think that that's, you know, they built this bench for October. When everyone's healthy, it looks like an October bench. So maybe you find a big right-handed bat. I don't know if it's out there, but right now I expect them to kind of go in for the bullpen. And if they get something there, great. And if not, they'll probably be pretty quiet because, you know, pretty much everything about this team has been solid the whole year. And I think they feel really good about it. And there's also sort of that chemistry dynamic, you know, don't disrupt what's worked so well. And everyone they've called up has played well. And it's just one of those things where if you could fix the bullpen, you felt like that was all you needed to do, and I think that's still the case.
Chelsea, Bryce Harper having a great season again. We talked about he hit the home run in the 4-3 victory over the Angels on Tuesday night out in Anaheim. But Bryce Harper, after next season, is going to be eligible for free agency. What are the odds that he sticks with the Nationals? And bigger picture, how much money do you think ballpark figure Bryce Harper is going to get? Because baseball contracts are skyrocketing, and he's just entering the prime years of his career.
It certainly feels like he's going to get a lot. You know, I mean, 400 feels conservative. Some people throw out the 5 at the beginning of that number. Either way, it's going to be the biggest it's ever been. You know, he's going to break that mold. But, yeah, I don't know the chances of him coming back. My mind changes on that every day, and I sometimes wonder if his isn't doing the same thing. It's just hard to predict. But, you know, right now, if I had to bet, I would certainly bet that he goes elsewhere. We've, you know, really only seen a few free agents do big contracts like this that stay. I mean, it just, once they hit free agency, they go get more money elsewhere. It's just kind of a fact, and that's not a comment on Bryce's relationship with the Nationals. I think he does love the spotlight. I think he'd love to be in one of those bigger markets. But we all expected Steven Strasburg to be out of here, and he signed an extension. So it's sort of one of those things you can't ever rule out, but I do think Bryce genuinely enjoys D.C. He enjoys being kind of the guy for this team. And so it's hard to rule out a return, but it certainly feels unlikely.
Final question for you, Chelsea. Again, we really appreciate your time. You mentioned you have high hopes for the Nationals as long as the bullpen squares itself away in October. But when you look at the National League, is there a team or teams you see as the biggest threats to the Nationals in October? Is it the Cubs? Is it the Dodgers? Is it maybe somebody else?
You know, I think the Dodgers are pretty dangerous, but that's a team that the Nats have actually played pretty well. I mean, they had them on the ropes in the playoffs last year, and the Dodgers, these Dodgers, this group is dealing with the same kind of mental block the Nats are. I mean, they, you know, they've had a little bit more success in the playoffs, obviously, but not much, and they haven't won that World Series that everyone wants. So, you know, I think there's pressure on both of those guys, and if the Cubs add, then they're scary because they've been there before, but, you know, I think ultimately, if you saw a Nats Dodgers series, that might be one of the best series you see all year. I think it would play out really nicely and be a lot of fun to watch. And I think the Nats would match up well. You know, obviously they fell last year to those guys, but I think they feel pretty confident about them. And there's not that aura that the Cubs had last year or anything like that. So I think it would be a really interesting postseason series. But right now, I think you have to say the Dodgers are the team to beat.
Chelsea, again, really appreciate the time. Hope we can catch up again and enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There she goes, Chelsea Janes. Check her out. She does great work covering the Nationals for the Washington Post. And you can follow her on Twitter at Chelsea_Janes is her Twitter handle. It is Jason Gotch. If you want to jump in, you can do so on the phone lines, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Always on Twitter at Jason Gotch is my Twitter handle. I got Funky Cole Medina at Money Stores writing the show from about 10 minutes ago. Says, regarding me, that was great. I'm guessing he enjoyed the Colin Kaepernick rant. There's somebody out there. I think there's a lot of people out there who agree with me on Colin Kaepernick. That you do not have to agree that the country is perfect to be outraged by a lot of the things that Kaepernick does. As I said in the last segment, if you're just joining us, to have a football player have socks that depict police officers in this country as pigs, or a police badge as the equivalent of a fugitive slave patrol, or praising Fidel Castro, you can understand that there are a few bad police officers, and the overwhelming majority are good, and they should not be depicted in the way that Colin Kaepernick depicts them. And unlike many out there, look, I don't care if Colin Kaepernick's in the NFL this coming year. I don't care one bit. I'm not going to be outraged by it. It's not going to affect my viewing habit. As a matter of fact, I hope every player stands for the national anthem, and I'm not going to miss his stunts on the sideline. So in that regard, I think the NFL will be a more enjoyable experience for me to watch, that I don't have to deal with Colin Kaepernick in a press conference praising Fidel Castro, a mass murderer, or depicting on socks police officers as pigs. That insults me. That insults most ordinary, average, mainstream Americans, without saying that everything is perfect. It's not perfect, but to lump all people into one group is wrong. And that's ironic, too, because Colin Kaepernick always talks about this message of, you know, he inclusion and reform and all this kind of stuff. Yet he is lumping all police in with a few bad ones out there, a few bad officers. And that's totally wrong, in my opinion. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. It is Jason Gotch with you. This is SB Nation Radio. When we come back, a little more on Bryce Harper and the idea of him getting $400 or $500 million in his next contract after the 2018 season. We'll talk about that next.